If you want to see more companies make things in America, consider buying more things from companies who are already doing that very thing. Companies like American Giant. These guys have been making t-shirts, sweatshirts, flannels, and blue jeans in America for the last 14 years, with cotton grown right here in the USA. That means good jobs for lots of hardworking Americans in factory towns all over the country. Check out their stuff in stores everywhere, or pick up something awesome at American-Giant.com.
88% of the workweek is spent communicating, typing, talking, and going back and forth on topics until everyone is on the same page. It's time for a change. It's time for Grammarly. Grammarly's AI ensures your team gets the point across the first time, eliminating misunderstandings and streamlining collaboration. It goes beyond basic grammar to help tailor writing to specific audiences. Whether that means adding an executive summary, fine-tuning tone, or cutting out jargon in just one click. 4 out of 5 professionals say Grammarly's AI boosts buy-in and moves work forward. It integrates seamlessly with over 500,000 apps and websites, is implemented in days, and is IT approved. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who trust Grammarly to elevate their communication. Visit grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise ready AI.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Neil Delamere is with us. It is not normally that we bring Neil Delamere on for political insight, but he has woken me up to an aspect of canvassing that I never... My understanding of canvassing was that once you realize that the other person was either voting for you or definitely voting against you, don't waste your time, because you're just no point. You have proof that this is not the political attitude of everybody.
I was walking my dog and I saw Pascal Donohue hand a leaflet to Bertie Ahern.
I love Pascal Donohue canvassed Bertie.
I love everything about it. I love that Bertie took it. I love that Bertie looked him in the eye and went, listen, you never know.
Two or three.
Convince me. You know, there's votes to be had here. But yeah. And then a woman walking by took a picture of it and said that would make a great campaign slogan.
I wonder, would he give him the 3 or the 4? I mean, you know.
I don't know.
Now, I have to apologize to you because I knew you had done Countdown before, but I think because of just a latent bias and prejudice on my part, I assumed, well, you know, ha ha ha, funny guy, it'll be the 8 out of 10 cats.
Yeah.
You've been on, you're a seasoned high octane
real countdown, my friend. Real Countdown, yeah.
Corner.
Yeah, I've done a few times, yeah. I know Colin Murray from doing Fighting Talkers, which is on Five Live, a kind of a sports quiz for years, and he asked me to do it when he took over. He took over from Anne Robinson, and people absolutely adore him, and he's been fantastic on the show as well. So he asked me to do it, and I've done it 4 or 5 times. Now, the amazing thing is the most recent one, he goes, do you want to dress up for Halloween? Well, he went, we're all dressing up for Halloween for Countdown. First time, 42 years Countdown has been on the air and they've never dressed up for Halloween before.
Really?
Yeah, 42 years. Mainly because they're adults, Anton. You know, they're grown-ups and they're not involved in such childish pursuits as a celebration of Samhain. But still Irish people in studio, so we did. We dressed up, yeah.
What did you dress up as?
Have you seen the picture?
I have.
And I wanted to be Gladiator. They said, well,
you're a GAA shorts and you're away now.
This is what I thought. I said, listen, Mescal's doing quite well at it. It's good because obviously you film it slightly before Halloween. And, you know, I knew that was coming out. And my wife said, just do Gladiator. There'll be loads of hype around it. And I said, Gladiator. And they went, we're kind of going for more of a gothic theme. So Frankenstein's monster, who's I went with, yeah.
I noticed the pedantry in that.
did you like that? I thought you'd like that.
That was very impressive.
Not Frankenstein's monster. Yes. But they did a whole thing, like they got...
Hang on a minute though, that picture. Yeah. No, you went with the stereotypical Hollywood version of... That's not how he actually looked. There's no mention of him being green. There's no mention of him having a bolt through his neck. His head was sewn on. It was not bolted.
Yes. Well, you've got me there. Yes. In fairness, he didn't have a stick, which sewn into... He had genuine massive shoulders. He didn't have a stick. I genuinely had a stick just as a frame for the massive shoulders. I was sprayed green. I actually couldn't talk quite well because there was a mask, so they cut out the bottom of the mask, and Colin Murray only realised this halfway through, nor could I write with the gloves on my hands. So yeah, it was a disastrous
idea.
Who
needs those two things for televised Countdown?
Yes, but an epic visual.
Here's a question. Why, if he was bolting together a potential monster, because he didn't know he was going, why would he use big person bits?
As aside from...
small person bits.
Okay, what do you mean?
Well, if you're Frankenstein, you're thinking, okay, I'm going to build a thing. I don't know how it's going to work out.
Yeah, yeah.
Should I get chunks of men who are all 6'8" and bald? Yeah. No, I get little fellas. So if he goes rogue, I can manage him.
That's, you sound like you have a school of jockeys. That's what that sounded like.
That's what you would do. So jockey parts.
You want a smaller part. Yes. Right. Well, we don't know this. Maybe Mary Shelley's first draft of that was based in and around the Curra or Fairy House. And the only one that went rogue was when he got too cocky. He went for the full estate version. Maybe there's a few hatchbacks. We don't know.
Have
maybe
you ever seen cars. Robot camel jockeys?
Yes, I have.
Aren't they the most amazing thing?
Robot camel jockeys. Do you know the way there's a anywhere in the world there's a three word where you can describe any, it's a coordinate, any place in the world with three words. Robot camel jockey sounds like your backyard. That sounds like. I have seen them, yeah, for races out in the Middle East, isn't
they
it?
They put little outfits on them.
Do they?
Oh, yeah.
It's like they, silks.
Yeah, they take...
Oh, I didn't realise that.
It's basically a power drill with a stick attached.
Yeah.
And then you strap that to the back of the camel and you turn the drill on and the stick smacks the camel in a rotary motion. Would but they put little outfits on
them. You know the way there's always everybody's always looking for an edge and that sort of thing, right? Well, surely all you would have to do is just show one of those robot camel jockeys, right, a picture of maybe a photograph of a streetscape with 16 or maybe a few more squares and ask the robot camel jockey to identify which ones of those have traffic lights in them. And that would, like, that sort of capture thing would completely confuse the robot camel jockey. You wouldn't need to drug up the horse.
Do you get very into trying to figure out the definition of the thing that ReCAPTCHA has asked you to do? Because it says show bicycle.
Oh,
you're
my
like,
God.
Well, technically.
I was trying to log on to my bank once and I went, sidewalks. Oh, I don't see any sidewalks. Exactly. I see some footpaths.
Correct.
So, and that is why the ESB bill was not paid on.
Or when they have, when there's a little bit of whatever it is that leaks into the other square, you're thinking, am I meant to do the entire square off this? Or is do I go with the majority of the thing? And I always think when it asked me for a second one, it wasn't going to, I must have got something wrong in the first one.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You see, you have an expertise in this. You have an IT background. You know all these things.
No, I just know if I say it with enough conviction, you'll go, oh, yeah, fair enough. That's grand.
You know the broadcaster's technique, I see.
I do.
You are going to be doing your upcoming tour. How do you come up with the puns? Because this is Achilles Neal, which is very nice.
Yeah, did you like that?
I did. It's up there with Creme de la Mer.
Yes, it sounds good as Fresh Prince of de la Mer, but Achilles Neal, yeah.
It's very good.
I was trying to think of, well, I've run out of the de la Mer ones, so I switched.
You've done a couple of Neal, you were Neal by Mouth as well, which is very good.
And this current tour is Achilles Neal. But it's a nice one because you kind of think of, like, comedians generally just kind of moan about their weaknesses, don't they? And moan about their the things that go wrong in their lives. And there's a lot of that in this one. So Achilles Neal seems to be quite apt. By the way, years ago when I did a radio show with you, you said to me, insight, not commentary, right? So genuine insight about, that's what you want on a show like yours. And you don't want necessarily just commentary. I am here to tell you a secret about Countdown. Do you want to know what it is?
I'd love to know.
If a rude word comes up, a rude word came up the other day when I was on it. And I'll try and keep it acceptable for 11:45. So it was a 6-letter word, yeah. And the first contestant goes, I got a 6-letter word. So the second contestant, and he goes, and it begins with W. So I'm sure you can kind of
get
it. Was? Yeah. And we got it as well, 6-letter word. So what they did was they reshot it. So the person said, they took away the D and they said, can I get another vowel? And they got an A. And they both declared the 6-letter word. They both got awaken. Then if you can probably re-engineer what the first word was. But they both, I've never seen a man look so confused.
No, I had a word in my head that rhymes with banker.
Yeah, no, banked. No. Banked.
How was I to know it was past tense? You might have given me a bit more specificity.
Well, I thought we were going to get there in the end. I didn't raise that point with Susie Dent. When I'm telling the story to Anton Savage, you can it is the past participle of it. Or the past tense of it, I should say. But yeah, that's what they do. So then they both declared 6 letters again, but the word was awaken.
Really?
Like that.
I'm slightly horrified that it's not always exactly as it seems.
Well, I suppose to keep the spirit of it, because everybody gets the same scores anyway.
Can I admit a thing to you, Neil?
Yes.
I don't know what a past participle is.
I'm not 100% sure myself.
No.
Yeah.
I hear a lot of people say it. It's one of those things I'd love to know. Someday I'd like to know what a past participle is, but I don't really.
Well, I don't know. You know, that all those cases, genitive case and all that sort of cases, you know.
Oh, I'm okay with them.
Do you?
I know now the ablative. That's
oh, tricky.
Oh, stop
now. Did you do Latin?
I did a little bit of Latin.
Yeah, I
did a little bit of Greek.
You did not. Yeah. You don't look old enough.
My favourite thing in Greek was there was a king who I think was Xerxes, who committed to a naval battle that went so badly
yeah.
that he got his entire army to whip the ocean to punish it. Imagine being a soldier in that army going, we're doing what now, lads?
He's whipping the ocean.
Xerxes whipped the sea.
Can we check that?
No.
Look, your production staff are genuinely laughing their faces off because they know you've completely been.
So back to Achilles Neil. If people want to buy tickets, not that they should, because frankly, I've never found you amusing, but if they do want to get tickets.
But it's part of our contractual obligation.
Exactly.
neildelibear.com/gigs or I'm all over the place in Vicar Street, and I've just put the UK tour on sale a couple of days ago. So I'm doing London Leicester Square Theatre and Cork Everyman and
well, joking aside, I hate to be sincere, but strong yeah. recommendation. If you've never seen Neil live, it is very, very entertaining, not just because of the standard stuff, but because he is also one of the best at improving off audience reaction and heckles. Not that you should heckle him, but if somebody does, it's yeah. entertaining to watch. Also back on The Blame Game on BBC Northern Ireland starting next week. Now, want to talk to you about a slightly sad topic, which is we got news there yesterday that John Kenny of a number of very good theatre productions. John Kenny, the musician. John Kenny, who, of course, rose to huge comedy fame in the form of one half of Dunbelievables, died of a cancer that he had been struggling with for a number of years recently, and then previously before that when he had a long period in remission. You worked with John.
I did, yeah. Not often now, but one of the first times I ever did the Olympia. In fact, the first time I ever did the Olympia, which was kind of a lovely thing to do, was with John. He was just coming back from one of his bouts of time off because due to his illness at the very start. And so it's a long, long time ago now, and I was asked to be his support. Just a very sweet, lovely man. You're very nervous because you're opening for somebody. Like I watched John and Pat and saw them when they played Vicar Street with the Unbelievables, and they were just amazing. And it was people who sounded like you and talked like you and moved like you. And Dave Allen has his place and Billy Connolly has their place, but they're not you. If you're a culty and you're growing up in Ireland and you see these two boys with John and Pat doing stuff together, and you're like, oh God, this is a bit of a little bell rings in your head. This is a bit of an option at some point, but it doesn't do anything more than that. But he was so sweet. He came and he said hello to me. And a lot of the time, the kind of person whose show it is isn't necessarily concentrating on the person who's opening the show for various reasons. But he made sure to come and see me and say hello and tell me what he wanted me to do in a few minutes. And he went on then, and the connection with the audience was absolutely incredible. And I was, I had an English friend of mine over, and I said, come in and watch this. And she said, why? And I said, if you want to know why Irish people love mischief and wildness and devilment and a connection, and this can go anywhere, watch this. And he was the absolute embodiment of that, a lovely man and a brilliant act.
That sweetness is my own experience. I interviewed him only a couple of times, but in that was the defining characteristic. He seemed like a terribly nice person. We're joined as well by Pat Short, of course, the other half of the Dunbelievables, a very sad Pat Short, I assume. Pat, that sense that Neil is describing, John Kenny, your recollection, your view of him, your take on him?
I think Neil summed it up lovely there, actually. It is a mischievous, mad character, full of, crack and divement and unpredictability in a beautiful way, in a creative way and a manic way. And that's where the kind of madness of the characters came from. But, you know, John grew up in the country in County Limerick in hospital, and he was very much part of rural Ireland. And when I started working with John in the areas, we made the decision not to move to Dublin and stay where all the material and the crack and the character and just John's love for rural Ireland and all things rural. And that reflected in the work, reflecting those mad characters and bringing them to stage, as Neil said, you know.
The other thing, I think, maybe I'm wrong on this, but the sense that I got was that he had a very wide range of talent. Because, I mean, whether it be the theatrical pieces in The Matchmaker, whether it be Dunbelievables, but also the musical background. I mean, this was a man of extensive talent.
Yeah, a lot of people out there will know, but a lot of people probably mightn't know that John was 15. He started with a band called Gimmick in hospital in County Limerick. And they toured, they were huge. They toured extensively around. They were kind of the last end of the glam rock era. So there's quite a lot of dodgy photographs out there of John in outfits and flares and what have you. But to give you an example of it, like, I think Susie Quattro once joined the band. He was of that level at the time. She was phenomenally huge. He toured with Mudd. who were a phenomenally huge band at the time. And I remember playing in the Tricycle Theatre with John in London in the early 90s. And some of the remaining members of the band came in to see us. And like, I'd heard all these stories about John and Maud and everything. You know yourself, you go, yeah, they go on house that, you know. And this night they all turned up there and they were all, hey, John, how you doing? It was mad, you know. So he had this extensive, this amazing career before I ever joined him. And I joined him when he was 28. So it, like, he packed so much and he danced the theatre omnibus all over the world, over in New York, in the that big centre over there. He was doing ballet when he was in the early 20s. He had worked with Davis at Large on the TV and Mike Murphy, and he had become huge for a single he had done called Spancel Hill, a reggae version of it. A lot of people might remember. It was a fantastic version of Mad.
He did a reggae version of Spancel Hill.
Yeah, it was huge in the charts when singles were selling. You know, when you have to get into the top 10, you have to sell a lot of singles, and he had. So he had an incredible voice. I mean, I used to often say when we go out, when you do a show with John in Dublin, whether it was Andrews Lane, Tivoli Theatre, you know, Vicar Street, wherever we do, we'd always end up in a party afterwards somewhere, and John would somewhere find a guitar and entertain everybody. And I often used to wonder, did he go out and plant guitars around Dublin before he did his show? I also think it is a sad time, but it's only fitting to remember John with humour, because that, you know, he was just such a larger-than-life person and amazing comic. I think the funniest person I've ever seen or worked with, and with the Unbelievers, we got, you know, people, you know, we were seen as these country bumpkins, kind of, you know, yet we travelled the world and we ended up doing shows with Dave Allen. Stephen Sondheim and I invited us over for lunch one day to his house in New York, and you know, these type of people loved what we were doing as well. So it was kind of a funny mix of reactions and stuff we were getting.
And I believe you got him one final standing ovation last night.
Yeah, we were doing a show last night. We wondered, should we go ahead or not? And then I just thought, you know, John lived for theatre. Just the week before he got sick, he had did two shows in one day. He wasn't stopping. So we did a show last night. And it's a tradition in theatre when someone takes the final bow, that, you know, like John did on Friday evening, that you your next show, you just get the audience to give him a standing ovation to see them off, you know. And we did that last night. It was lovely. It was really fitting, and I think the right thing to do, you know.
Well, Pat, thank you very much for your time this morning, and condolences on your loss. That is Pat Short, who of course was such a so synonymous with John for so long when the two of them were in Dumbelievables. A reminder, Neil Delamere is going to be touring with Achilles. Neil, I never asked you, is it you who comes up with them, or is it like ChatGPT?
Thank you so much. I really hope Xerxes was a Persian, by the way. Please look that up before the end
of
the show.
It is true. Xerxes whips the sea. It's somebody like Ovid. I think it might be Ovid.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure.
Or Homer, one of those.
One of those. You know yourself. Yeah. So if you do want it, it's neildelamere.com.
Yeah.
You wouldn't get an Irish domain name, no?
Oh, what? The world. Why just Ireland? The world, Anton.
Neil, thank you very much. Thank you, as I say, to Pat Short. And it is only fitting, I think, that we should play out with a little bit of John Kenny. So before we go, thank you to Hugo De Silva Scott, Simon Keane, Steve Daunton, research producer Aoife Breen. This is the Sweets Show sketch where Pat Short comes in to buy penny sweets from a very, very angry John Kenny.
How much are they?
Which are they now?
Yeah.
These here?
Yeah.
The other penny each.
And can I get two of them and two of them?
You can, yeah. You can get two of them and you can get three of them.
And them?
Yeah, you can get two of them and you can get three of them as well. You can get six of them.
Can I get two of them and two of them?
What, Tim? What two of them now? Two of these or two of the pops?
No. One of them and two of them.
No, you can't get one to one of them and two of them. But you can get two of them and you can get one of them.
How much have I?
Say it, Johnny. Come on, what do you want?
Give me two of them.
Come on, here, one of them. Come on, now, look, here, look. There you go. Now, there, show me the money. Come on, out.
Can I change one of them?
Get out! Come on, out of it. Come on, for fix here. Come on, just tell me. A way in a home is coming on. Not on my feet. My hat pick and broke. How much is this?
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.